some dough.
Dough?
Dough!
Yeah, you know.
Some cash, some green, green cash. $500 from KABC. And it's called the Hilo Game.
This has got to stop now.
KABC. Los Angeles.
Orange County.
A Cumulus station.
Hilo.
KABC News, live and local at 11 o'clock. I'm Jeff Whittle, and authorities say a suspect has been detained in connection with a credible threat that forced last night's evacuation and cancellation of classes at Pierce College in Woodland Hills.
Administrators say the school was reopening in the morning. The L.A. County Sheriff's Department, which patrols the school, tells the L.A. Times that someone overheard the threat and reported it to the LAPD. The paper says details of the man being questioned and the nature of the threat were not immediately available. A campus alert issued at the time of the closure said, quote, "We are taking measures to ensure safety of our students and employees," end of quote. Ken Jeffries, KABC News.
A new LA Times USC Dornsite poll found that 53% of California residents favor the state sanctuary law, and 63% say illegal immigrants help the economy, while 38% of respondents say undocumented immigrants take jobs away from legal residents. Now, California's sanctuary law has prompted the Justice Department to file a lawsuit against the Golden State. President Trump will unveil more details about his proposed tariffs on imported steel and aluminum this afternoon and promise to be fair to America's allies.
We have a very close relationship with Australia. We have a trade surplus with Australia. Great country, long-term partner. We'll be doing something with them. We'll be doing something with some other countries. We're going to be very flexible.
At that same cabinet meeting today, President Trump left the door open for his chief economic advisor, Gary Cohn, to someday return to the White House, just days after Cohn announced his resignation over the tariffs.
He's going to go out and make another couple of hundred million, and then, then he's going to maybe come back. He might come back, right? We'll be here.
Absolutely.
Another 7 years, hopefully, and that's a long time, but I have a feeling you'll be back.
And a court commissioner in Bakersfield says she'll soon rule on who can collect the remains of mass killer and cult leader Charles Manson.
Deputy Kern County Counsel Brian Walters says Kern County Superior Court Commissioner Alyssa Knight said Wednesday that she would rule in a few days on petitions to release Manson's remains from the Bakersfield morgue. Several would-be heirs and a former pen pal are vying for the corpse that's been on ice since Manson died November 19th in a hospital at age 83. A man who claims he was fathered by Manson and another who says he's a grandson are locked in a dispute with a friend who collects so-called Manson memorabilia. I'm Rob Marinko, KABC News.
Talk Radio 790 KABC Sports. Lakers barely beat Orlando 108-107. Lakers blew a 12-point fourth quarter lead but rallied to win. Lakers will visit Denver tomorrow while the Clippers host LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers tomorrow. LA Kings host the Washington Capitals tonight at 7 p.m. right here on KABC. Ducks skate in Nashville this afternoon. College hoops. UCLA plays Stanford 2:30 this afternoon in the Pac-12 tournament in Las Vegas, and USC takes on Oregon State tonight, while Cal State Fullerton faces Long Beach State at 2:30 this afternoon in the Big West tournament in Anaheim. Exhibition baseball, Dodgers down the Angels 4-2 yesterday. That is sports on the home of the LA Kings, 790 KABC. KABC news time is 11:03 with dependable traffic when you need it most.
With the northbound 5 Magic Mountains Parkway, I've been working on an accident here, and this one involved an overturned vehicle. Also 14 Freeway northbound Crown Valley Road. I got a crash here in lanes as well. Starting to back up on the north 110. The reason for it is at Avenue 43, a crash with a left lane block already slow through the 5. South 101, that's getting busy at western end of downtown. South 405 connector road to the north 55, ongoing road work blocking that connector. The back up to Harbor and South 605, a little bit busy for you from Beverly to the 5, but all lanes are open. I'm Rhonda Kramer, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
KABC SoCal weather, partly cloudy today, highs upper 60s at the coast, mid-70s expected inland, rain likely Saturday through Sunday morning. It's 67 in Walnut, 64 in Lake Forest, 66 in Northridge. Get news at the top of the hour, at the bottom, and when it breaks. I'm Jeff Whittle, Talk Radio 790 KABC News. There's no better time to plan your Las Vegas escape, especially now with rooms starting at just $39 a night at MGM Resorts, where you can enjoy the best live shows and award-winning restaurants. Book today at MGMResorts.com. KABC News, sponsored by MGM Resorts.
Radio is the first mass medium. But how does it work?
It's as marvelous and as simple as this.
Peter Tilden.
At 10!
Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden 10 continues. Hour number two, brought to you by Larry Miller and Sit and Sleep. Well, of course, beat anyone's advertised price. Your mattress is free. Thank you, Larry. Got some great tickets. Tell you how you can win them to see Mars Day and the Time. Or this wonderful charity concert with Rick Springfield, Terry Nunn from Berlin, Venice, and student musicians at the Santa Monica High School this Saturday. The phone number, if you want to participate in the conversation, be great. 800-222-5222. I wanted to start with the legal ramifications of some of the things that we've heard and talked about the last couple of days that are big in the news. So I want to have on Jessica Levinson, professor at Loyola Law School, president of the Los Angeles Ethics Commission. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. So we'll start, let's start with the sanctuary city laws. Removing, trying to remove emotion from this, I'm trying to look at this and say, what are the issues here that will be ruled on? Because the federal government has authority over matters of immigration. That we know. There is a supremacy clause in the Constitution that says federal law takes precedence over state laws. And a lot of analysts, however, say that California could prevail in defending a law that prohibits state and local law enforcement from voluntarily giving federal immigration authorities information, but that in a couple of other instances, they may have a problem as far as making private employers liable for voluntarily cooperating with immigration authorities or potentially vulnerable as a law that requires the state to inspect non-criminal immigration detainees. So there's a couple moving parts there. How does this play out? And also, taking it one step further, where does it go from here? Because then it goes to the Ninth Circuit if it goes to an appeal, which is more liberal, and then it can go to the Supreme Court. Would that not be the direction?
That's exactly right. And the problem you laid out is, you know, that this lawsuit is going to define the contours of federal power versus state power when it comes to immigration policy. And so, you know, you introduce the supremacy clause. So the Constitution says that when the federal government and the state government both legislate in the same area and those pieces of legislation are in direct conflict, which I think is a question here, then the federal law basically wins. But there are some other laws that say, well, California as a sovereign also has authority over implementing some of its own laws, again, as long as it's not in direct conflict with the federal government. And there's case law that says the federal government can't basically strong arm a state or locality into becoming its local law enforcement agency. So those are basically the two competing interests here. It's the state saying, look, these two things are not in direct conflict. You can't force us to help us. You can't, the legal term is commandeer. You can't commandeer us into becoming your local police force. And then the federal government saying, hey, this is immigration policy and there's a thing called the supremacy clause. Now, unfortunately, everybody's view on this case is really based on whether or not you're a Democrat or Republican, not what your views are on the supremacy clause.
So how do we make sure that the ruling is based on law and not politics? And by the way, I should make the observation that they're not looking for a nationwide ruling on this. They just asked a federal judge in Sacramento, and they went to Sacramento rather than L.A., I'm guessing, or San Francisco because they wanted something more, a more conservative ruling. That was more of a political decision, as a matter of fact, I'm guessing, to go to Sacramento rather than doing it in Los Angeles or San Francisco. But it's not, they're not seeking a nationwide ruling, correct?
That's right. But as you said, when this case, and I think it's when, not if, is appealed to the Ninth Circuit and then very likely appealed to the Supreme Court, the case will have precedential value. So at this point, you know, all Democrats are rooting for California. But if you imagine a situation where the roles are reversed and it's, we saw this situation very recently. It's, for instance, a red state like Arizona that is implementing different immigration policy from the federal government. Then all of a sudden you want the federal government to have more power. And so it's important for us to really separate, although I know that I sound so naive when I say this, to separate the politics from the law. And clearly the suit is being used to further political purposes. But, you know, again, the suit and the court's rulings will be the law of the land, regardless of the partisan makeup of the state. So the court's ruling is not going to begin when there's a Republican in the White House.
The other question, too, Jessica, is that the Oakland mayor got a lot of people underwear in a twist because she issued this public statement saying...
her underwear, sweaters, pants, sandals, everything was in a twist.
She mentioned that customs enforcement agents are about to stage raids in the Bay Area. So here you go. You go, hold on a second. So I get that maybe you want to help some folks out, but on the other hand, you got ICE agents coming in. Let's assume for a minute there were violent criminals who have no argument to avoid deportation. And she's tipping these people off that immigration officers are about to enforce a federal immigration laws. Didn't that cross a line when you look at it from the right thing to do legal point of view? To impede or interfere with immigration enforcement is the same as rounding up on documents. It's you're doing the same thing on the other side. You're deciding, well, I'm going to take the law into my own hands and I'm going to announce this. And if, God forbidden, you have criminals that left and didn't get caught because of that and then they commit a crime, it's kind of on you.
Well, that's what people are saying in kind of subtle ways and in very aggressive ways, which is basically there's blood on your hands, Mayor Schaaf, if one of these immigrants that you warned then goes on to commit a crime. Now, what the Oakland mayor did, Libby Schaaf, is really interesting because she obviously made a political calculation that she was going to talk to the immigrant community and say, you better get prepared for this. And then the federal government and the Department of Justice basically said, we're looking into this. Well, I would say good for them for looking into this, but there really is no legal recourse when it comes to her actions. I mean, Jeff Sessions can do exactly what he did yesterday when he came to Sacramento, which is to say, how dare you, and I can't believe you did that, but it doesn't rise to the level.
There's no legal recourse. And by the way, it didn't apply, but nevertheless, will we ever get to the bottom of this, Jessica, or is this just going to be, immigration reform going to be forever? We'll be talking about it, your kids' kids, and we'll still be having the conversation.
Well, I mean, when you said, will we ever get to the bottom, I chuckled because I feel like we are really circling the drain when it comes to this. I mean, look at what we're faced with here. It's open warfare between the federal government and states and localities where you have a mayor saying to people, I got a tip that ICE is coming, so make arrangements. And you have the federal government suing a state. Now, that's not unheard of, but it doesn't happen every day. And that type of conflict, I mean, I would argue, if this isn't rock bottom, I don't want to continue looking.
So wait, let me ask you, let's segue from this, like make a small move to the right or left. Pot. I mean, we know where Jeff Sessions stands on pot. We've also talked about asset forfeiture. I brought up asset forfeiture the other day saying, hey, folks, get ready. Because based on Jeff Sessions and asset forfeiture, which he's expanding, the last administration tried to reel it in, and that's taking your stuff on a hunch. You don't need to go to a judge because the judge would probably say that's unconstitutional. But they take people's money, houses, businesses. You ever go on those FBI sites and you see, hey, there's all these jets and cars and Mercedes and Rolls-Royces. They're all taken, and people can fight to get them back. Good luck with that. So when you talk about the pot thing, I'm smelling that Jeff Sessions can wait and not go after the little guys. But if you have hedge funds, you have big money guys behind some of these pot initiatives, and after they're opening tons of stores, okay, he could just go in and take their money and say, you know what, asset forfeiture. You're flailing in our face of the laws. Pot is not legal. Federal government does not perceive it that way. We're going to take your stuff. Isn't that the next thing to go?
I think that, you absolutely hit the nail on the head in terms of there's again the same type of clash, and maybe it does include this issue of forfeiture, of civil forfeiture, between the federal government, which says marijuana is still a Schedule I drug, and states where we have, as all your listeners know, we've just legalized the recreational use of marijuana. And this has caused, as an understatement, this has caused huge confusion, and people don't really know how to set up their businesses. They don't really know if they can put their money in federal banks. I mean, there is such lack of clarity when it comes to what's happening in LA on the local level.
And it's billions of dollars too, Jessica. It's a lot of money. People are acting as banks. You act as a bank for a bunch of marijuana places, guess what? They can take your money. If the feds decide to do it, they can show up and take your money. Can we move on? Because there's so much to talk about here. Sam Nunberg went on TV the other day and had this meltdown talking about not wanting to appear in front of Mueller. Judge Andrew Napolitano wrote a really interesting piece about Sam Nunberg and saying the things that you got to realize here is that Nunberg did appear before Mueller. He's for 5 hours. He did an interview. And now Mueller has given him immunity because he wants him to appear in front of a grand jury. He also said that Nunberg was the guy who said something very bad happened. He feels that something very bad happened during the election. So this guy, you don't give a guy an immunity, even though he melted down on TV. You don't give a guy immunity and want him to appear in front of a grand jury unless there's something that Mueller feels is important that the grand jury hears. Is that not correct?
Right. Immunity is not like, you know, Oprah Winfrey in her talk show saying, like, you get immunity and you get immunity. And, like, it's a Thursday, so everybody gets immunity. I mean, you know, you have to think about what Mueller is doing. And he's very methodically investigating a huge case here. And there's a lot of moving parts. And you only give immunity if you think that there's something useful that you can gain. I mean, if you have talked to the person and you determine basically there's nothing there, then you just don't make that offer because you want to continue to have them as a witness and to have some leverage over them.
Yeah, so
you know, sorry, go ahead.
No, so Nunberg, the insanity, you saw it. He was on every show except the animated shows. He was all over the place. I love that he said, "I'm not going in. They can have my email password, and they can do it." And he's a lawyer, by the way. He must have had a meltdown because if you say no to a subpoena to a grand jury, you go right to jail, correct?
Well, you don't go straight to jail. I mean, it's not necessarily like Monopoly, but I would say, regardless, I mean, and, well, I have something completely separate from the legal issue to say, which is, did you notice when you were watching that virtually every host looked like, oh my God, how do we get this guy off the air? I mean, it was like the phone conversation where you want to say, oh my God, I'm in the canyon. I can't hear you anymore. I'll call you back, because he just wouldn't stop. And it is, I mean, his meltdown was kind of astonishing for a number of reasons, but the fact that he made this comment of, like, I have a hunch something bad happened, that's not why Mueller's giving him immunity. Mueller's giving him immunity because he thinks there's more of a there, not, well, this guy looks like a drunk and he has some gut feeling that something bad happened.
No, absolutely, but the fact that he blurted that out gives some insight in what's going on. Real quick, the Stormy Daniels thing, the lawyer's pushing back and saying that because the president did not sign the agreement, the NDA, it's not valid. The attorney for the president apparently went and got this arbitration ruling that there's a delay. So the press secretary said he won. The president won this arbitration. I don't see it as a win. I see it as they got a tactic where they could stall. And I thought in an arbitration, A, both parties have to be privy that there's an arbitration. Or what is an arbitration? I thought you needed two sides. Number two, the $130,000 that was paid by Trump's lawyer, the lawyer did a draft. The lawyer then presented. The lawyer did all of the stuff and is alleging he did it without the president. Wouldn't that be an ethical violation? My lawyer has to inform me when he's representing me and making decisions on my part. So there's a lot going on there, too. What's going to happen with this?
Well, I mean, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. I would say, but you're right that the idea that this arbitration ruling is a win, I think, is a huge mischaracterization. And I do think that the person who needs to get a lawyer right now is the lawyer, because there's also accusations that he's not only basically gone rogue and acted on his own, but that he pushed Ms. Daniels into signing a document that had false statements, and that he used coercion and undue influence in order to try and get her to sign that. So those are a whole host of separate problems. But this issue of the president didn't sign the agreement, well, I mean, you could have for instance, Harvey Weinstein Corporation sign a non-disclosure agreement with someone accusing him of sexual assault. Just because he doesn't sign doesn't make it invalid. So there are a couple of different legal issues going on. We don't have clarity on them. What we do know is that this arbitration quote-unquote win, I don't think is exactly a win, and that the lawyer has been at least accused of some pretty serious misconduct.
All right, and the last story I wanted to ask you about, too, is Special Counsel Robert Mueller, according to the Washington Post, has evidence that these back channel, or beginnings of one, between Trump administration and the Kremlin, was initiated by Eric Prince, who's a Blackwater founder and also the brother of Betsy DeVos, and that he was overseas in the Seychelles and kind of ran into this guy from the Kremlin, and it was not set up in advance, and he said that in front of a House committee. He testified in front of them. This businessman, now George Nader, told the special counsel that he helped organize and attend the meeting and testified before the grand jury. He said the purpose of the meeting was for a Trump representative to meet with a Russian official close to Putin. So Prince, it appears he lied. I'm not saying he did. It appears he did. If he did, if you lie to a House Intel Committee, what happens to you?
Well, if you lie to a House Intel Committee, I mean, it depends on if it's a clear lie or not, and it depends on whether or not he was, you know, under oath at the time. But I would say, you know, we have a long now history of showing that false statements are not permissible. My guess is that there may be a, you know what, my recollection has been refreshed on this. What we do know from the Robert Mueller investigation is that when you make false statements, for instance, to the FBI or to the Department of Justice, then that can be used as leverage for a guilty plea or to say, you know, we can go ahead and ignore those false statements, but we'd like some information from you as well.
Well, and this is a big one with a minute left to go. So when Mueller presents, whenever this limps to an end, whether it's 3 months from now, 6 months from now, or yes, we're no longer on the planet because I've passed away, it's been so long. When he presents, in what form does he present? Do we know, Jessica? Because you know that a certain percent of the population is going to believe whatever he presents. Another percent of the population is going to question it. And another percent of the population, no matter what he presents, is going to say, I'm not buying into it. He's bought and sold. This is political. And I get that. So how do you present something that's legal, that's supposed to have all the I's dotted, the T's crossed, that's a document that stands up on its own to naysayers, to people who don't understand, to people, where does that go? How do you present that?
Actually, this is the question that I am most worried about when I think about what's happening with the Mueller investigation. I don't worry that Mueller's not doing his job or necessarily that we're still saying that Mueller's on a witch hunt. I worry that he is going to say, I looked at the facts. These are the facts in black and white. I've looked at the law. This is the law in black and white. And half of the country will say, I'm just not seeing it. And at that point, it becomes really kind of scary as to what our next move is. I mean, we're assuming that there is a there and that there is ultimately some type of indictment, which we absolutely don't know if that will happen. You still need the political levers to right. work in order to try and get a president either to comply with that indictment in terms of kind of agreeing that there is an indictment or to actually remove a president from power if it comes to that point. And again, this is if. But that is one of the things that worries me the most, that there will be a, you know, by all accounts, valid indictment or valid document that says, here is what we found and what we're worried about, and that it will be so utterly discounted that our elected representatives will basically undermine it. And at that point, we have a rule of law crisis. So I really just wanted to leave you on a happy note.
Thank you for that. And we see both sides are playing this game. They're both coming out guessing every day. Pundits are guessing every day what's in this what Mueller's going to present, and they're using it for politics. And it kind of undermines what's going on because people don't want to wait. They want to hear what's going on, and they want to form an opinion. And it's, I don't know how you present a legal document anymore in a country that's so divided and get people to buy in no matter what you do, the due diligence do you do. So it's going to be fascinating. And whenever that happens, again, we may not even be here at that point. Jessica, thank you. Professor at Loyola Law School, president of the Los Angeles Ethics Commission. The blog is politics.lls.edu. The Twitter at Levinson Jessica and the website lls.edu. Thanks, Jessica, for depressing us all.
I'm going to start getting paid by pharmaceutical companies that put out antidepressants.
I can get you a sponsorship. I wish you had a sales listen. Get her a sponsorship. Brought to you by, I don't even know.
Yeah, tweet me.
Take it easy. Talk Radio 790 KBC. Lynette, I'll take your call next. And everybody else, 800-222-5222. We'll be right back.
Has dependable traffic when you need it most, sponsored by Southern California Edison, northbound side of the 5 and around Magic Mountain Parkway, working with an overturned vehicle, backing up now to about McBean Parkway, northbound 14 at Crown Valley. You've got an accident here, clearing from lanes in the South Hollywood Freeway, typically crowded western on into downtown L.A. Northbound side of the 5, Rosecrans to Norwalk. Roadwork in the third lane from the left has traffic busy from Artesia Boulevard and South 405. Connector Road to the North 55 roadwork here, at least partially blocking that connector road. Southern California Edison wants you to stay safe around electricity. If you see a down wire, do not approach. Call 911. Stay aware, stay safe. I'm Rhonda Kramer, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
KABC News, live and local at 11:30. I'm Jeff Whittle. The L.A. County DA's office declined today to file charges against a former LAPD officer who fatally shot a homeless man just steps away from the Venice Boardwalk in 2015, even though Police Chief Charlie Beck recommended that then-officer Clifford Proctor be prosecuted for shooting Brendan Glenn, who was unarmed at the time. The DA's office says there wasn't sufficient evidence to prove Proctor acted unlawfully, but that shooting sparked a series of protests against the use of force by police. The northeastern U.S. is digging out from its second nor'easter in a week, and a third storm could hit the region next week. Yesterday's storm dumped 3 feet of snow on parts of New England and left hundreds of thousands of residents without power. At least 4 deaths are blamed on the storm. An 88-year-old woman was killed when a tree fell on her while she was shoveling snow in a New York suburb. 2 people died today in a chain reaction crash on ice-covered Interstate 75 in Ohio. Another motorist died in a car fire today in New Jersey after driving over some live power lines that came down in the storm. Also, a fallen tree limb brought down by heavy snow is blamed for a commuter train crash in Massachusetts, but thankfully no one was injured. And the man accused of stealing Frances McDormand's Best Actress Oscar after Sunday night's Academy Awards ceremony has pleaded not guilty to grand theft.
47-year-old Terry Bryant was released on his own recognizance over the objection of prosecutors. His attorney is Daniel Brookman.
There's a difference between holding an Oscar and what he's charged with, so that will play out in court.
Bryant was a ticketed guest of the Motion Picture Academy's Governor's Ball when he allegedly took the Oscar from a table and tried to leave with the statuette. Prosecutors say he could face up to 3 years behind bars if convicted. The LA Times says he has what it calls a minor criminal past. Ken Jeffries, KABC News.
Talk Radio, 790 KABC Sports. Lakers got by the Magic, 108-107, thanks to 27 points from Lakers center Brook Lopez. Lakers visit Denver tomorrow. Clippers host the Cleveland Cavaliers tomorrow. The LA Kings host the Washington Capitals tonight at 7 p.m. right here on KABC. Ducks visit the Predators this afternoon in Nashville. UCLA plays Stanford at 2:30 today in the Pac-12 tournament in Las Vegas. USC takes on Oregon State tonight. That's sports. On the home of the LA Kings, 790 KABC. Traffic, a market check, weather, and more Tilden at 10 next. KABC News Times, 11:33.
KABC has dependable traffic when you need it the most. Northbound side of the 5 under Magic Mountain Parkway. You're working on the accident here with the overturn, the back of Madam McBean Parkway. Also northbound 405 Sherman Way, clearing a crash now center divider. And northbound 14 at a Crown Valley, clearing a crash here and had lanes blocked a short time ago. Northbound side of the 5, Rosecrans to Norwalk. Road work in the third lane from the left, backing up solid to Artesia Boulevard. And South 405 connector to the North 55 ongoing road work, at least partially blocking that transition road. I'm Rhonda Kramer, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Here's your 790 KABC market check, and stocks are rebounding from this morning's losses. The Dow now down just about 18 points. The S&P 500 positive by 3 points. The NASDAQ is up 12. KABC SoCal weather. Partly cloudy today, highs upper 60s to the mid-70s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, but a little change in temperatures expected. It is 72 in Port Aransas, 66 in Torrance, 68 in Los Alamitos. KABC Weather is sponsored by Stater Brothers Supermarkets. Culinary Tours, a full line of globally inspired foods available exclusively at your local Stater Brothers. Find Culinary Tours across the store, Stater Brothers, where you always get more for less. Get news at the top of the hour, at the bottom, and when it breaks. I'm Jeff Whittle, Talk Radio 790 KABC. ABC News.
Call now. Call me if you're interested.
What's your phone number?
800-ABC-KABC.
Ask for the phone number, not the phone letters.
That's 800-222-5222.
Thank you.
Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. Hour number 2. You know what? Call now. 800-222-5222. If you'd like to go see Mars Day and the Time at the Saban Theater, what a great act he is. He'll be there March 25th. And also the Greg Coote Concert for the Arts, which is happening at the Barnum Hall at Santa Monica High School this weekend. It's going to feature Rick Springfield, Terry Nunn from Berlin, Venice, student musicians. Call right now, 800-222-5222, Dino number 7. Caller number 7 gets the tickets. Let's go to Lynette, who's been holding patiently. You're on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Good morning, Lynette.
Good morning, Peter. Thanks for taking my call. And salute all the women on Women's Day, of course. You know, I think that California for a long time has been treated like a stepchild. For every 86 cents we send to Washington, you know, I mean, excuse me, for every dollar we send to Washington, we get 86 cents back. And then there was a secessionist movement here in California for the past four elections, maybe. And then we have the Trump presidency, which we feel, you know, pretty much slighted by Trump and his administration. You know, when you look at how the tax cut, you know,
how the taxes
down.
Affected us. Well, you know what?
And then the trade, the whole trade war, which, I mean, we are the sixth largest economy in the world. How would that affect our agriculture? Sure, we need immigration reform, but not this kind of witch hunt kind of thing and all that dysfunctionality that Washington is bringing right now as we speak. S-2155 is to deregulate banks and to repeal Dodd-Frank.
Okay? By the way, I wanted to ask
you. They want to put us, they want to take us back to a bunch of dysfunctionality.
Well, thanks for calling in, by the way, and thanks for holding. By the way, I didn't get a chance to talk to Dodd-Frank and the banks and the regulations and the fact that the last time we had the bailout of the banks, maybe we'll do that tomorrow. You always ask the question on who's it good for. So is that something that we, the public, went, hey man, you better address this and pull back some Dodd-Frank, because we want smaller banks, which, by the way, up to $250 billion. They're being held back. Meanwhile, the banks are making record money, record profits right now. Is the general public yelling, hey, you know what? Roll back those regulations for Dodd-Frank. Are we like, you're marching in the streets with signs saying roll back Dodd-Frank? It's very weird. But yes, Washington looks at us with our the EPA regulations, pot taxes, etc. We do get punished a bit in California. We will see what happens, however, with the sanctuary city laws, because there's validity to a lot of what the national government is saying. But will they do immigration really attack and address immigration reform in this administration? I'm not sure what's going to happen in this administration from immigration reform. Right now, by the way, to address the tariff thing, we're waiting. 3:30 East Coast time, 12:30 our time, the president's supposed to make some kind of announcement. I'm seeing still that the administration, saying Trump's GOP allies on the Hill are in the dark over the tariff plan. Lots in the administration do not know exactly what he is going to sign or propose. We'll carry it, I'm sure we'll talk about it as soon as it happens, Dr. Drew and Lauren, when it comes down at 12:30, because it's going to be interesting. He's getting a lot of heat from his own party on the tariffs and the repercussions and how we will be targeted by foreign countries and our allies as far as targeting. I talked about yesterday, they will hurt the red states. They will go after what hurts Trump the worst and the Republicans the worst, like Bourbon and Harley Davidson. So we'll see what the announcement is. We saw yesterday it started to alter. It started to say some of our allies will be left out. It'll be more surgical as far as who they're going to target for what. So that's going to be happening. Right now he's meeting with the video game industry, but they didn't televise it. They did it behind closed doors, and they got the top lobbyists and the major players in that industry, and the critics will be there. It's interesting because they're going to have Robert Altman, the chairman and CEO of ZeniMax Media. That's the company which owns the studios behind games like Doom and Fallout. And Trump's brother, Robert S. Trump, is among the board members on that company. And then again, you got Brent Bozell, the founder of the Media Research Center and the director of the Parents Television Council. So whenever there are shootings, the video games always enter into it. I personally don't like video games. My kid never played video games. I thought they were a waste of time and it didn't increase his skill set. I remember when he brought home Guitar Hero, where you tap like a chicken for a pellet. You know, you're actually not playing guitar. It's teaching thousands of kids how not to play the guitar. I said to him, you know what? I'm not getting you that. You know, I'm getting you a cheap guitar. How about spending 2 hours a day instead of trying to not play guitar? How about learn to play guitar? And he actually learned how to play guitar. But the video game thing, I know millions of people do it, and God bless you, and I don't say other people shouldn't do it. I just found it is such a waste of time for kids to sit there indoors and play Call of Duty and, you know, whatever, Grand Theft Auto and Street Fighter, even Super Mario Brothers. Great. You got really good at Super Mario Brothers, and you're going to do, that is preparing you to do what later in life? So the video game thing, it'd be interesting to see what comes out of this meeting, because it all weighs into gun control. It all weighs into our violent society on some level. It gets in kids' heads in the milieu there. but I'm not a big video game guy, so I'm the last person to say, to criticize, because I never actually sit there and watch these games. So I'll take your comment on that. And I do want to talk about, speaking of that, violence in video games. A woman wrote a great editorial about a gun control measure that both sides can get behind. And I want to tell you what she said, and maybe we'll try and get her on too. She is the San Diego city attorney. And this was a very smart piece. And I read it and went, this is pretty cool. I think you will agree. I don't think anybody will disagree. And it's forward moving. It's at least a measure that's forward moving. As a matter of fact, we already have it in California. And if we use it correctly, it could actually be a tool. So we'll talk about that next. 800-222-5222 is the phone number. Peter Tilden 10 continues right after this.
KABC has dependable traffic when you need it the most. Northbound side of the 5 right at Magic Mountain Parkway. Working with that overturned truck, two left lanes blocked in the back of now two Lions. South 405 Roscoe getting reports of an accident. That's now in the center divider. And also be careful if you're on the North 14 at Crown Valley. An accident here a few minutes ago, still in lanes. Eastbound 60 Diamond Bar Boulevard is another crash with a carpool in left lanes blocked. Backing up to Bad Grand, northbound 5 Rosecrans on over toward Norwalk. They've got some ongoing road work here. That's in the third lane from the left with a backup to Artesia. And South 405 connector to the North 55 road work, at least partially blocking that connector road. I'm Rhonda Kramer, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tilden 10 continues. Our number two. Jean, congratulations in Burbank. Got tickets to Morris Day at the time because somebody else got confused for the first time ever. I don't know the whole story, but you lucked out, and somebody else didn't. So whoever didn't, I hope they get the tickets tomorrow. We'll give you another chance. You know, we had the Florida shooting. I've done this show a long time. There have been too many school shootings. Alabama school yesterday, one dead, another hurt in an accidental shooting. This piece by the San Diego city attorney on something you can do that both sides can agree on. Here's a story. Employees in an automobile dealership in San Diego became increasingly disturbed by a coworker's behavior. After the mass killing in Vegas, the service advisor praised the shooter for not committing suicide until he had gunned down enough victims to set a modern record. If I were him, he said, I would have shot up a mosque and then shot it out with the cops. Not long after, he boasted that if he were fired by the car dealership, which seemed likely, he would return with his gun. What happened was a coworker notified police and statements were taken. And the office at the city attorney obtained a GVRO, which is a gun violence restraining order. And the man surrendered a semi-automatic rifle that had significant, of course, killing ability. The California legislature created this statute in response to the 2014 mass killings in Isla Vista, where one of our salespeople lost his daughter in that shooting. And it can be used by law enforcement agencies, by a family member or a housemate. And she's saying they've done 15 of these. In the past couple months, each one of them, a court determined, posed a serious danger to themselves or others. They should roll this out in every state. A court-ordered GVRO compels an unfit gun owner to sell or surrender his firearms before he can do harm to himself. And what's amazing is you'd think that going to take somebody's guns, it would be a problem, that they would be adamant not, or there'd be a disaster waiting to happen. She said there's had no trouble enforcing the orders. One person told police on surrendering his guns, he shouldn't be allowed to have them. He'd been drunk, intoxicated at least three times the legal limit, shooting at rats and raccoons in his backyard, terrified neighbors' calls because they heard the bullets whizzing through the trees. And he actually said, please take my guns, and you should read all the other cases. Maybe we'll get her on because it's pretty stunning. And there is stuff. This is not the end-all to be-all, but it's a piece of the solution. So a GVRO, I don't know why every state would not have this. Every city would not have this. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Need more reasons to listen to KABC? How about 500 more?
Hi-lo, hi-lo, just riding with some gold.
The KABC $500 Hi-Lo game is back. Listen for the cue to call at 6, 9, noon, and 3. If you're caller 7 and you give us the lucky number, we'll give you $500 cash. Yes, wrong? And you still win a $25 gift card to Bristol Farms, your Southern California local food store since 1982. That's 525 more reasons to listen to 790 KABC.
Looking for some crosstalk.
Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tillington wrapping up to make way for Dr. Drew and Lawrence Yvonne, who are on with me right now. Good morning.
Make way, Peter. Make way.
I'm making way.
Beat it. Get your things and go.
Thank you. Thanks.
So we're both in Manhattan. We're both in New York.
Congratulations.
Why are you calling it Manhattan?
She got there safely.
It's International Women's Day, Dr. Drew.
Person's Hatton.
Person's Hatton.
There you go.
Wow. I got a watch here. I got one, a live one on hand.
It's called the Big Apple. It's safer.
Yes, I'm on the Big Apple. And is that okay?
I guess it's gender neutral. Fine.
You're freaking me out a bit, Jordan. I don't normally sit across the table from
I know, we're very close.
This is getting a little weird, especially when she's on me at the beginning of the show. But yeah, we got a lot of stuff. John Phillips is going to join us in a little while. And, yeah, that's kind of weird, huh? He's written an article about Jerry Brown chicken out of Hotel California. And that's interesting.
He may never leave.
Well, he certainly
Spoiler
feels,
alert.
He feels like it. Immigration, all that is still something we're talking about at 800-222-5222. I've got the high-low game. People need to listen for that. And then Lisa Stroman's going to give us an interesting sort of review of what President Trump is doing this afternoon. I guess he's got a streaming a conference on video game violence.
Right.
Which is interesting. And do you have an opinion about that, Peter?
Well, it's interesting because you're going to have the same players that they truck out all the time, the parental guidance people and the others.
Yeah.
And on
yeah.
one of the boards of directors of the big companies, his brother. So that's kind of interesting, too. Trump's brother.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know,
there's another brother? I thought the one died of alcohol.
I think he's got the one brother. I think it's I forget the number. It was married to Blaine Trump's husband. So, he's involved in that. I don't know what's going to move forward here. I don't know what they're going to accomplish with the video game summit. And they have a lot of money for lobbyists in Washington. So, when you have somebody advocating for you that has a ton of money to hand out, you know, all of a sudden people say, yeah, they're horrible. Oh, wait, not so horrible.
And Lauren, again, it's International Women's Day. Am I getting it right? I want to make sure I got exactly
the fact that
right.
I have to tell you what it is, tells me that you don't.
Oh, my God. Peter, this is going to be an interesting day. I mean, already.
I mean, we only get one day.
Wait a minute. You didn't dress up? You didn't buy anything, Drew? Really?
I'm dressed up.
It's weird because he is wearing his Rosie the Riveter outfit. So it's odd that
man,
he
I don't want to. I can't get that. I can't be unseen. I can't unsee that now. Well, have a wonderful day. Both
I'm
of you stay
that
safe.
I'm doing muscle movement. With
that's
a scarf over my head.
Yeah.
Great. Drew's doing Kegel exercises. Talk Radio 790 KBC. Handing the baton over to these two, and I'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye.